if you are a Christian young woman, your supreme desire would be, can this man help me become more like Christ? And can I exercise a godly influence on him? If so, ladies, you found a man of the marrying kind.
Welcome back to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, God of the Details, a study in Ruth. Last time, Don began teaching a message called A Marrying Kind of Man, looking at what traits godly women should be seeking in a husband. The first question to ask is whether the man under consideration is godly himself. Today, Don will suggest four more questions a woman would do well to ponder. Our text once again comes from Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Have your Bible open there, and let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
When you ask the question whether a man is of the marrying kind, whether he's the kind of man that a Christian woman who wants to grow in grace should marry, is this kind of man fit for marriage? Here are five questions that I would encourage you to ask. You should ask this question. Number one, is he godly? What you want to be asking yourself as a young Christian woman looking into marriage or considering a man for possible serious relationship is to ask yourself, but is he godly? I understand that he says that he's a Christian, but what you want to know, is he godly? Ladies, one of the things that you must do is contemplate. Think into the future. Think beyond your immediate emotional attachment to this fellow. And ask yourself, can I see him successfully doing something to lead my family and my children spiritually? You know, the time will come when your attraction to him physically will die down a bit. The time will come when all of the emotion tamps down. And then you're going to be left with who the man really is. And is that man that you see, does he exhibit something that says he will be a positive spiritual influence on you and your children going forward? You must ask that question. Is he godly or not? Because his godliness will provide a trajectory for the rest of your life, and not just your life, but your children's lives. Now, so you ask the question, is he godly? I don't think that's an unreasonable question to ask. Shouldn't you want to marry a godly man? Of course you would. Secondly, here's an important question. What do the people you trust think about him? What do the people you trust think about this man? Naomi, you will recall, endorsed Boaz to Ruth. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Actually, we could go back even more in chapter 2, verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "This man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives." And then in chapter 3, verse 1, she says, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." And she sends Ruth into Boaz to address him and to pursue the relationship. Ladies, this is such an important point. If a man is of the marrying kind, in other words, if he is a man that is a good man for you to marry, that will be obvious not only to you, it will be obvious also to the godly people in your life who care about you. And they will affirm that, maybe after some conversations, maybe after some investigations. But you should desire the affirmation of the people who know you well, that have proven that they care about you, and that they are supportive of this man. Whether that's a godly family, if you've got a godly parents to endorse that, or maybe it's your church elders or someone like that, don't make important life decisions like this in isolation, or worse, in opposition to the people who have proven over their lifetime that they love and care about you and have your best interests at heart. Sometimes, those that are close to you are going to see things that are red flags or warning signs that you miss and that you're blind to in the course of your emotional attachments. So you should ask yourself, what do the people you trust think about this man? You don't have to give them an absolute right of veto in order to benefit from their perspective and to listen and to be teachable in the midst of the pursuit of your relationship. So, we've covered two questions. Is he godly? What do the people you trust think about him? Notice that Ruth, when Naomi endorsed Boaz to her, she acted on the counsel. She went forward on it. She relied on the advice that Naomi was giving her. So, those are two things. Thirdly, what else could we ask? Thirdly, we could ask this question, is he honorable? Is he honorable? Do you remember what we looked at last week? You remember that Boaz had Ruth at his feet in the dark of night, in the quiet. She was dolled up. She was perfumed. It was no doubt a matter of temptation that was right there at his feet. And what did he do with that opportunity? What did he do in that occasion? You know what he did? He protected her honor rather than taking advantage of an opportunity for sin. Look at verse 8, for example. Well, let's start at verse 7. Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" She identified herself. Verse 13, what did he say to her? He said, "Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." He didn't touch her. There was nothing inappropriate that took place. You know that from verse 14. She lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." He treated her in a way so as to preserve her purity before him, and even sent her away before it became light and others saw. He was protecting her reputation along the way as well. He had her well-being at the center of the relationship. And this was a man who found her attractive. You know that because he married her. You know that because he said that you could have gone after young men, whether poor or rich, in verse 10. And yet he acted to protect her honor. Ladies, let me say something to you right now that is just so very, very critical. And I hope and trust that you know that I am on your side, that I have nothing to benefit personally from the things that I am saying to you. This is all for your well-being. This is all for your protection. Ladies, a marrying kind of man will protect your virtue in the relationship. He will not press you in physical ways that would compromise your purity. The moment he starts to do that is the moment you should cut the relationship off and run from him. Because if his love for you is genuine, if his interest for you is godly, His supreme desire will not be the satisfaction of his own urges, but rather will be to make sure that you are protected in virtue and in reputation by your association with him. And a man who does not do that is somebody that you should not consider to be of the marrying kind. He won't manipulate you and said, if you loved me, you would do such and such. He won't take advantage of your affection. He will protect and preserve it. And so, ladies, you need to think about that. And you husbands, you dads, you need to reinforce that. You need to encourage your daughters in that direction. You need to be there as a godly, manly influence in their lives so that they're not swayed by the false affections of somebody who just wants to, you know, with them. And so, ladies, you ask the question, just step back from the relationship. Step back and just ask yourself these questions objectively before you get too deep into the relationship. Is he godly? Just little simple things. Does he gather together with the people of God on a consistent basis? Or does he only show up when you're there? Is his pursuit of God dependent on you being there so that the real objective is you instead of God himself, Christ himself? You don't want a man like that. What do the people you think trust about him? Ask, talk, have an honest conversation, and don't be defensive about it. Don't prejudge that I want this to happen and then I'll look for things to justify it. No, ask it honestly. And step back before you get deep into the relationship and ask, is he honorable? You know, what's the pattern of this man's life? To ask if he's godly and ask if he's honorable is to ask overlapping questions, I know, but I'm just trying to isolate things to help you think clearly. Fourthly, here's another question that you should ask yourself. Is he kind? Is he kind? You know what Boaz did? Boaz sent Ruth home with a gift for Naomi. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, look at verse 15. Boaz said to Ruth, as she's getting ready to leave, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." And so she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, tens and tens of pounds of food, and laid it on her, and then she went into the city. And what did Naomi find? What did Ruth say to Naomi when she got home? Verse 17, Ruth said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" He cared for her mother-in-law. He sent home a generous gift for the benefit of her family. Ladies, here's an important point for you. When you're considering a man for marriage, look beyond how he treats you. Of course he'll be nice to you. If he's after you, you can assume that he'll be nice to you. I mean, it's really kind of twisted if he's not. Why would you even go after a man like that abuses you or speaks harshly to you? That wouldn't make any sense, would it? But see, what we're looking for are independent ways to judge a man's character apart from the immediacy of the relationship with you. You want to know what this man is really like, because it's what he's really like that's going to shape the course of your life. And so when you are considering a man for marriage, look beyond how he treats you and ask questions like this. How does he treat your family? Maybe more importantly, how does he treat people who can do absolutely nothing for him? How does he treat the clerk at the store? How does he treat the old man in the congregation who's lost his seeming usefulness? How does he treat his own family? You want to see through. You want to look past the immediacy of romance and say, I want to know who this man really is. And it's these ways that he treats others that are going to give you a more objective, reliable indication of what he's really like. And what he's really like is how he will eventually treat you once the romance dies down. I've heard horror stories of women who married men thinking they were one thing and then finding out afterwards that he wasn't. And the gloves literally came off and the abuse began. To the extent that you can avoid that beforehand by simply being discerning, we want you to do that. Now, one final question, and then we'll kind of wrap these things up with some final thoughts about it. We've asked, is he godly? What do people you trust think about him? Is he honorable? Is he kind? Fifthly, we would ask this question, is he financially responsible? Is he financially responsible? Now, I want to be fair and not make the standard too high here. Boaz was a man of great wealth, and he handled legal affairs well, as we've seen. Boaz was a man of great wealth. You see that in chapter 2, verse 1, for example. And a marrying kind of man, ladies, he doesn't need to be wealthy. He doesn't need to be a man of great means. But here's the thing that you should be asking yourself when you look at a man for potential marriage. Does he have a demonstrable work ethic, at least? Does he have a plan to support you? Don't make the mistake of saying, you know, we're just going to get married. I know he doesn't have a job and he doesn't really have a plan, but God will work it out and love will keep us together. Don't deal foolishly with life that way. A responsible man, a man of the marrying kind, will at least have a work ethic and at least have a plan that he can explain on how he's going to support you. And so, ladies, beware of the man who cannot keep a job or who never finishes a task. And especially, ladies, beware of men like that who are big God talkers, who put on a spiritual front, who like to talk about Jesus, but they can never seem to get around to actually doing work or finishing tasks. Men like that will bring you misery. I've seen it. I've seen illustrations of all of the negative sides of what I'm describing to you here. Now, with those five questions in mind, let me say this. What we're talking about here, these are principles. They're not rigid, dogmatic guidelines. These are areas of inquiry to ask about, things to consider. Think about it this way. A young man or a newer Christian may still be establishing his patterns in life. And that doesn't mean that he's disqualified. That doesn't mean that you wait until all of these things are perfectly established forever. Life isn't like that. After all, that man is a sinner just like you are. God is in the process of sanctifying him just like he is in you as a Christian woman. And so, ladies, any man that you consider, when you look at him closely enough, you'll find a blemish or two or three. But what you want to look for, and hopefully we can kind of wrap this up, and this will kind of pull it all together in terms of what we're saying. We're not asking a 21-year-old man to be perfectly established in life with a prosperous career and his education completed and he's ready to take off and he's already elder qualified in his life. That's not what we're saying. That would be completely unreasonable and unattainable to do that. That's not what we're saying at all. What you want to look for, ladies, parents, What you want to look for, what you want to help your children discern and think about is a word that I love to use. You want to look for trajectory. You want to look at the direction that he's going. You don't demand perfection in all of these things. That's unattainable. What you are looking for is direction. What you're looking for is the momentum, the patterns that are developing in his life. Is he developing a pattern of godliness? Does he have a pattern in his life of treating you honorably, treating other women honorably? Maybe he's failed miserably in the past, but he's now working out the fruit of repentance. That's okay. It's going to be pretty hard to find a man who's never fallen in any way whatsoever. Does he have patterns of kindness? What you want to look for is trajectory. What is his life becoming? How does he talk about his life when these matters come up? Ladies, does he excuse his past mistakes and sins? That's bad. If he minimizes it or if he kind of laughs it off, that's not good. That says that he's not treating righteousness seriously. But if he can say, yeah, you know, that was before I was a Christian, and I hate that part of my past life. Or, yeah, you know, I'm still growing in that, and I'm not all that the Lord would have me to be, but, oh, I want to be a godly man. And you see evidence to confirm that? That's good. Is he applying himself to growth? That's good. And so you're looking for directions in these areas. You're looking for patterns, you're looking for developing character, and you can start and say, okay, I see these things, the trajectory is good, that gives me hope that the work that God has begun, God will continue to work out in that young man's life. And if you have the affirmation of the godly people in your life, then you can say, okay, here's a candidate. This man is the marrying kind. Look for those kinds of windows, those kinds of episodes that would indicate those spontaneous moments when no one's thinking about it that betray what a character is truly like. That's what you want to look for. And when you see it, talk to the people you love, and then trust the Lord to work out his providence. What you really want to look for in our New Testament times, you want to look for somebody that's under the influence of the Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Timothy. We'll close with these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Look at what Paul says to the young man Timothy and the directions that he gives him for his own life and ministry. Paul says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Ladies, does the man that you're considering manifest that? Is he showing himself an example even in a preliminary stage of life? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul gives a negative combined with a similar positive command. He says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Ladies, the man who is becoming like Christ can lead you to become like Christ as well. If you are a Christian young woman, your supreme desire would be that you would become like Christ. Not that you would become married, that you would become like Christ. Marriage can be a great part of that. What you want is to have that defined in your mind that I want to be like Christ. That will exclude a lot of imposters from consideration. And then you can say, can this man help me become more like Christ? And can I exercise a godly influence on him? If so, ladies, you found a man of the marrying kind.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has concluded a message titled, A Marrying Kind of Man. To summarize how to determine whether a man is of that kind, Don has suggested five questions to ask. Is he godly? Does he pass muster with the people you trust? Is he honorable, kind, and financially responsible as well? If so, you're off to a good start. Now next time, Don will turn the tables and show you the traits of a marrying kind of woman as our series, God of the Details, A Study in Ruth, continues. Plan now to be with us. Right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for directions and service times. Once more, that's thetruthpulpit.com, and thanks for your support of this ministry. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.